Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 72. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarupa Kahe Sarupa Kahe Yate Jami Lathamara Mana Tate Jani Hoya Tumara Kripaya Bhajana Bhajana. Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intention, he must have your lordship's special benediction. Omigana Timirandasya Dananjana Shalakaya Taksur Umlatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Bhupakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Tanandante Idamyache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhojo Dulisham Janma Janmani Bhairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Kiyatnai Apayam Nam Manavipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dugi Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhairvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Readings from New Jersey. Again, did a program in the area and staying with Gop Kishore and Kishori Radha. I'm very, very enlivened. And more and more I like this type of phone Sangha program. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Krishna Bhakti Ratsa Babato Mati. Society for giving people Krishna consciousness, which means to change the present consciousness, because we are not seeing Krishna. Because of material desires, we want to see Krishna's energy as separate from him so we can enjoy it. So the extent the heart is not pure, we are not seeing Krishna. And if we're not seeing Krishna, we are not feeling Krishna. And feeling Krishna is feeling our love for Krishna. So I'm very actually happy and very to actually do this program where we can regularly hear Krishna Katha, because this is actually the process to advance in spiritual life. Here, Prabhupada said hearing is the first essential, and it's interesting to have taken it recently where it's a simple point, but the point that made really affected me also, saying that the purpose, if Krishna comes into the heart through hearing about him, and that's actually the potency of this process of hearing, that the process of hearing, you actually take Krishna in the form of, and Prabhupada said, the Bhagavatam The message is Krishna. There's no difference. This is how Krishna is manifest. The sages of Namasharanya, when the last question that they ask, now that Krishna has left the planet, where is he presently being, where is knowledge and religion presently being manifest now that Krishna has left it? That is the last question of the sages of Namasharanya. And the answer was, it is in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna left the planet, it is in the Bhagavatam. His message is where Krishna is manifest in this age. And therefore, when Sutta Goswami, answering the sages of Namasharanya, said, you know, I'm answering you that question, it's in the Bhagavatam, but you know, when that message was spoken, I was there. And not only was I there, but I heard it and I realized it. And now I'm going to explain it to you. And what was the reaction of the Sonika Rishi? Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. Mahabhaga, we are most fortunate. Generally speaking, when you repeat something in language twice, it's a literary defect. That's why we have editors. So that things are edited for force and clarity. So, but in Sanskrit, only in the case of extreme enthusiasm is it not a defect. So Shanaka Rishi was saying, Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. Anybody, whoever got on, just do something. Mute your phone, or whoever got on, please. Yeah, hang up, whatever you have to do. This is actually a very far-out medium, you know, because I can't see the audience. That's why I like to get the feedback at the end, because I imagine who is there. But it does take great concentration. So he says, Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. Mahabhaga. We are most fortunate to hear, because you have not only heard it, but you have realized that message, and therefore you can explain it to us. And that's in that commentary, Yatamati, Yatabati, I heard it and I realized it. Prabhupada, whoever just called, please hang up again. Someone has some problem with his phone and he's sharing it with us. I was speaking about this medium, the challenges to keep focused. My only fear sometimes, I have to admit, very frankly, my fear is somehow or other in Kali Yuga, it's a great thing to hear transcendental subject matter, but people are not always so attracted to it. Not only attracted to it, it's not a fruitive activity. And we're so conditioned in the material world for fruitive activities to get something observably for ourselves. So our days are all filled with so many fruitive activities and our week that they become a priority in our life. So I realize that if the class is not presented in a very engaging way, that's why I prepare for it. It's very easy to lose the audience in this medium because you can't see them. But I'm very, very happy, actually. And this is what I'm saying. I can see this effect when people do hear with interest or faith. I can't think of any other way where people transform more rapidly in their consciousness, which means to prioritize our spiritual life, to get determination and conviction for our spiritual life. Actually, the greatest illusion that people have, and even among us devotees and myself, that this is not the most important thing in life. Everything is secondary to love of Godhead. It doesn't, and this is the way love of Godhead is developed, it doesn't mean that other things are not important. It means that everything we do, even socially or economically, it is important for that reason only, actually. It's important for that reason, because if it's not connected to that reason, of situating ourselves in a peaceful frame of mind for hearing about Krishna, then what we're doing is temporary and filled with dualities. It's not that our desires shouldn't be fulfilled. It's not that we shouldn't regulate our life, but we should have a goal and purpose to do so. And then everything becomes lined up in the proper priority. Anyway, this process of hearing, taking Krishna in our heart. And I really thank the people that do hear regularly. Because I know we still pretty much got a steady number with what we began. But some people, you can see how they hear, they become enthusiastic, and then somehow or other everything else becomes more important. So it's very nice. And not only hearing, and Bhurijan Prabhu shared with me, and I think he wrote a BTG article about prayerful reading. Sometimes people get discouraged about studying Shastra because they think it's about being a scholar, that they have to, again, fruitively, I have to read a certain amount of pages, you know, or I have to learn and memorize a certain. But actually, we can look at this process of chanting and hearing as another thing, especially this is Prabhupada's purport. It's spoken by Krishna Das Kaviraj. We're going to hear Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. But actually, this is the method in this age to get the darshan of great souls. And we read in a real prayerful mood, let me be influenced what they say by what they say, to bring my consciousness in a more determined way towards my goal, which is Krishna consciousness, which is the eternal position of the soul. And when one actually is desiring on the platform of the soul and leading his life on the platform of the soul, and therefore beginning to identify with the soul, which is a servant of Krishna, one becomes fearless. Because the soul, And if you identify with actually who you are, which is actually a servant of Krishna, I repeat that so many times from the Bhagavad Gita, that the perfected state of living entity is called the devotee. If you actually identify with being a devotee by making that your objective and lining your up life with that and performing different activities in that consciousness that I'm a servant of Guru and Krishna, then there's no death. Because that person who's actually, that identification is real. And things that are real are eternal. So this is actually, in the whole Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam is in reference to the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die and what should he not do? And then the answer is given very quickly. You want to be fearless at the time of death, which means free from the illusion that I will become non-existent, then chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna. And take it into the heart. And this is actually the whole process of Krishna consciousness is absorption in the absolute reality, which inspires our sense of which gives us an attraction to the absolute reality, which inspires our desire to serve the absolute reality, which invokes the real identity that I am in relationship to the absolute reality eternally as a soul. So this is the process, and we're trying to alter this in terms of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, let me go on to the story, and those of you especially who are the regular readers, each time I repeat something, it can help to give us more facility for remembrance, but just to get us back, Krishnadas Kaviraj is beginning this immense task of conceptualizing and expressing the most intimate presentation of the absolute truth in his Sesha Lila. And we've explained that this beautiful conception of the absolute reality is Advayam Dhyan, consciousness, of which nothing is outside of, and then Shakti and Shaktiman, the energy and the possessor of energy for the purpose of exchanging love and pleasure. And then the third eternal constituent of that absolute reality is that absolute reality, who is divided into Shakti potency and Shaktiman. The Shaktiman means the possessor of the potency, Krishna, becomes his Shakti, his devotee, to fulfill to experience three unfulfilled desires of Krishna Lila, and that is the which all have to do with taking the position of the devotee. And that's Gaur Lila, the internal reason of Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to experience the pleasure of love from the perspective of the devotee. Okay, so he's beginning to explain this, and he mixes the history. It's very nicely the history and the philosophy. So we know that all the devotees from Bengal, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now taken sannyas in his 24th year, and they all go to Puri to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu settles in Puri out of respect for his, for many reasons, but the external reason is out of respect for his mother, who was in so much separation, so it's kind of nearby. And he goes to Puri, and he meets the devotees at Rathayatra, and he requests them to stay for 4 months during the Chaturmasya, and then they return home, and he begs them, not only begs them, he orders them, that you should come back. You should come back every year. And it's very, very intense. They can't tolerate the separation from each other. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj, because it's the Sesha Lila, the end Lila, and he begins to explain this mood of separation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to, that Krishna is coming to experience in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because, see, again, I'll repeat it again, we'll get up to today's verses, but Krishna, in Krishna Lila, he wants to experience, he realizes his happiness, which is prem, is not complete until he experiences prem from the perspective of the devotee. So he desires to express the love of his devotee, but which devotee? The topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. And when? At the height of her love. And the height of her love is at the moments of the deepest separation. So this is actually what Krishna came to experience in terms of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to experience the love of Radharani in the height of her love, which is separation. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings us in the view of, and he's just like, it's like a focus, and he's bringing us into view of a very amazing scene of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experiencing these sentiments of Srimati Radharani. And it's the Rathayatra, and we can imagine, because there's seven kirtan parties, and Lord Jagannath is being pulled, and the kirtan parties, there's, you know, certainly, they actually organize them in such a tasteful way, because the purpose of kirtan is an offering of love to Krishna, so they have specific people who are expert. This is it's actually in the Bhakti Sandarbha, it says a very interesting thing that actually better than hearing about Krishna or in kirtan is actually singing, but except if there's someone who's more expert than you, because the purpose is Krishna's pleasure. So, and expertise doesn't mean just the mechanics of music. But expertise means expertise means many things. But one thing about expertise is actually three factors of expertise in real devotional music. The first is the sentiment in the heart. Because without that initial inspiration, it doesn't matter how talented you are, you cannot communicate that. So it must be some, it must have deep emotion, which is called rag. And then the person must chant appropriately according to the circumstance, the festival, etc. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in that Ratiyatra, and he begins to chant a particular song to nourish his feelings. But no one really understands how that song is actually corresponding and to what feelings it's corresponding to, because that song is an ordinary song about between a young boy and a young girl. And I said that in many, many classes. I somehow want to get quick where we are, but somehow it's taking time today. But anyway, we can repeat it many, many times. It's the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra, the same Malati breezes are blowing in the air, but I am not happy with you here. I want you back in the days of my youth. So no one really understood why he was chanting this song, because it wasn't specifically written in terms of a particular lila. It was something Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was using to nourish his sentiments. And it's a very, very inner sentiment, because it's expressing the internal reason for his appearance. So Rupa Goswami, mercy, he understands this. And he goes back to his place near the Puri temple, but he wasn't going in out of social, he didn't want to cause social disturbance, the nature of a Vaishnava. Somehow or other, this rule was there that only caste Brahmins or people who are not within the Vanashram system are outcast, and Rupa Goswami had association with Muslims and changed his name. So he wasn't allowed in the temple along with Sanatan Das, his brother, and along with Haridas Thakur. But the nature of the Vaishnava, his goal is to experience Krishna's mercy. And therefore, he takes a very, very humble position. He's not interested in any social disturbance unnecessarily, because, and this is what actually is very, very interesting. When Srila Prabhupada went to see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for the first time, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at Prabhupada and said, you should preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English. And Prabhupada's response was, well, who will listen to you? Because, you know, the Indians are subjected by the British, and Bhakti Siddhanta's response is, that Krishna consciousness is so important, and the urgency of that it cannot wait for any political change. It's actually more important than a political change. What's the use of a political change if there's no change in consciousness? And change in consciousness is not dependent on externals. Krishna consciousness, therefore, is causal. It's not dependent on the change in externals necessarily. So, anyway, I'm getting lost here. I'll be praying for some mercy that I can continue. Anyway, let's get us up to date. So Rupa Goswami, he wasn't going to the temple, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the devotion, would actually come to him. And that's also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction. Don't try to see Krishna, but act in a way that Krishna will want to see you. And this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, that the Supreme Personality of God, it is everywhere, and he is manifest according to the devotee's love and devotion. So because of their great love and devotion, even though they couldn't physically go into the temple of Lord Jagannath, in the manner of, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Lord himself, would come to see him. So he came one day, and then after taking his bath, he looks up on the thatched roof where Rupa Goswami is staying, and he's seeing his handwriting, which is like a row of pearls. It's described. It's even there in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan Research Institute. Described without any computer, just in his purified mind. How powerful the mind is in actually when it's cultivating sattva or goodness. Becomes very, very clear and very, and it's just like in a room that when it's dark, you can't really, you may see shadows of things, but as the light goes on, everything becomes more distinct. So the symptom of the mode of goodness is everything becomes very distinct. One in the mode of goodness can hear things very, very subtly, just like there's music with subtle tones. Someone in the mode of goodness, you know, the consciousness is so purified that he can see things in a very, very subtle way. And he can taste things in a very, very subtle way. So he's actually thinking in that pure mind, and he's actually able to express the highest thoughts in the most perfect poetry. So he writes this verse, and after he writes this verse, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at it, and then Srup Damodar, who's most confidential son, they look at it, and they're amazed. And then in their hearts, it may not be the exact words, but then Sanatana Goswami sees, and Srup Damodar sees that actually this very, very inner desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Gupta Avatar, hidden, this inner desire is now directly expressed. And then in their hearts, they're saying, perhaps this is where that glorification of Rupa Goswami comes. It must come from the heart of Srup Damodar. It must say, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapada. How did he understand? We worship Rupa Goswami Manobhishtam. He understood the inner secret of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind. And now we're in this section. Took a little bit too long today to get there, but we're in the section where, with great wonder, Srup Damodar Goswami is they're looking at this verse, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's asking Srup Damodar. Actually, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, how can he understand the intentions of my mind? And Srup Goswami says a very interesting thing. If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have the Lord's special mercy. So mercy means kindness. So why is understanding the mind of someone their kindness? Well, it's their kindness if you have love for that person, or let me say that that person is a worthy object of love. And if you're actually able to understand his mind, you're able to understand his desires and please him. And you can only understand the mind and desires of someone if that person reveals them to you. So the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other, I guess when he taught him or internally, that he revealed to him within the heart, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, the internal manifestation of the super soul is the internal manifestation of the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. So we see this transcendental system where the heart of very, very pure souls is reciprocated by the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord could actually see their heart, because the heart is the voice of desire, and the Supreme Lord has the ears to hear the voice of desire. So, and he's actually marking that. Akila Drasta Drik, It means Akila Drashta Drik means Drashta, he sees Drik, Akila. He completely sees the direction of the devotee's heart. He understands the mind. Therefore, you can't bluff the Supreme Lord. We should always know this in our spiritual life, that the Supreme Lord is ready to reciprocate. He actually sees he's watching, and he actually sees our desires. And according to our desires, he reciprocates. According, this is the transcendental system. We see that with Vyasadeva. He had such a sincere desire to edit the Vedas as a service to the Supreme Lord. And when he initially, because sometimes a failure is the stepping stone to success, even though he was such a pure soul, it was such a difficult task that initially he didn't do the task properly. And therefore he was despondent in heart. And just at the moment in his heart, when he understood, what does despondency mean? It means I must have done something wrong. Because otherwise, the despondency is the symptom of incongruence between your being and your actions. But he couldn't understand, what is the incongruence? I've done such wonderful work and such austerities, followed discipline. So he had to go deeper. And it's such an interesting point. Sometimes when we're doing even well, there's internal distress. And what does that internal distress mean? It means that you have to go deeper. And that the Supreme Lord wants you to go deeper. There's some jewel of realization that you haven't gotten. And the little internal suffering and distress that comes up is actually the sign, the voice, go deeper. So what happened to Vyasadeva? As soon as he went deep in his heart and he said, yes, I haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. At that moment, his guru came, because they're connected. Same thing with Dhruva Maharaj. And he was deeply praying. And then the Supreme Lord, he saw the Supreme Lord, and he came. So here, I just jumped, not as clear as I like today, but it says, you can understand you must have received the Lord's special benediction. Because you just think, every person can think, really subtly, your inner desires. Why will you not express them to anyone but who is confident? Before I answer, you can think of that. But before I answer that question, I want to repeat again, when I was in Vrindavan and I saw this very nice devotee, Mother Srimati, very advanced. She was meditating so deeply on the on the deities. And then when I met her outside, I was just curious, what are you meditating on today, Srimati? And she said, well, meditating, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that by doing Dham Seva, one gets Nam Seva. And by Nam Seva, one gets Kam Seva. And I said, Kam Seva? Because Kam means desire. She said, yes. By chanting the holy name, Krishna reveals his desire. And when you know Krishna's desire, you can please him, and that's the goal of life. So why won't we reveal our desire? Perhaps your inner desire is a very special thing, because your inner desire, you understand it because you have the frame of reference of your whole life on why that means so much to you. And perhaps if you let it out where people don't understand you and don't have your frame of reference, the thing that you cherish so deeply, they will take cheaply or not understand. So why, what we're seeing, this is such mercy, and Sarup Damodar is confidential. Rupa Goswami understands his mind and intentions. Therefore, he must have received the special mercy. Because what it means is, he must have given himself fully to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because another thing about inner desires is when someone knows your desires, they can control you. So your inner desires are not given so easily to anyone else whom you have complete trust and faith that person wants to serve you and actually loves you. Someone who's confident that yes, I can reveal my heart to him, because in that inner sense of my heart, the person will understand the desires and they'll want to serve those desires. And the Lord said, he actually said, yeah, Prabhu Kahe, I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami. I was so pleased that I embraced him and I bestowed upon him Sarva Shakti. I gave him all potencies to fulfill my desire to spread Krishna consciousness. I accept Rupa Goswami as quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain it to him further. So he's saying, he's expressing how much he trusts Rupa Goswami, and he's given him this because I was telling the story the other day, I can forget classes or Sunday or Monday, but when Prabhupada was in his room in Calcutta, and he was meditating to himself, you know, how was I the lucky one? How was I the fortunate one? Because of so many exalted God brothers, but he was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then when he thought, he said, because I was sent to send faithful to the order of the spiritual master, because he had that faith and trust. The desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so clearly manifest in his heart. And because he had that desire, without any confusion, he could serve that desire. And by serving that desire, he became even more close to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of my favorite things in Vrindavan, when I was in Vrindavan, I used to, I was given the service to invite the senior Vaishnavas to Prabhupada's disappearance day. And there's a certain way in that type of assembly that people speak. It's called context relevance. They're to glorify someone, and that's the context, and they go to know, there's not any length they won't go to glorify someone. So one sadhu get up, and it was to proper glorification of Prabhupada, and he said, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into this room now, he said, and all the Vaishnavas of the last 50 years were here, who would he go to first? And then he said, I say Srila Prabhupada. And then he became even more excited. He said, and Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, he said, he is the incarnation of Govinda, Haridas Thakur, and Rupa Goswami. And then he said Govinda because Govinda was the servant of the selfless servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his new meal and then took rest, he massaged his feet. And then after you take the meal, then the servant can take the remnants. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up, because it was in the Gambira, and he said, how come you haven't taken your meal? He said, because I didn't want to step over you, because this is Vaishnav in that culture of service. To step over someone is to exhibit superiority in the service. The person Vaishnava never wants to do that. I told you about the Vaishnava wouldn't even, a senior Vaishnava wouldn't even step on my shadow because the sun was towards my back and the shadow was coming towards his feet and he kept on moving from side to side to avoid the shadow. Who am I? And this is the Supreme Lord. But he said to massage me, you had to step over me to get into the room. He said, yes, that was for service. For service, I can transcend etiquette, but not for my own sense. So he said, who's a better servant? And then he said, Haridas Thakur. He said, because who can be more attached to the holy name of Krishna? And then Srila Prabhupada, who spread the holy name of Krishna all around the world. He was so attached to the holy name. And it's so nice, and that point can't be repeated enough, that every other sadhu who practically started a spiritual movement, it became named after them. But Prabhupada's movement became known as the Hare Krishna movement. A lot of people didn't even know who his name was. And then he said, Rupa Goswami. He said, because who could have, because Rupa Goswami, he said, because Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam, he was glorified of one who understood the inner secret and inner mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, who could have understood the mind of his guru more than Srila Prabhupada? In fact, in this other purport, where Prabhupada, I can't find that purport, Prabhupada says the same thing when they say that Rupa Goswami understood the intention. Prabhupada said that when he wrote that poem about his spiritual master, and Bhakti Siddhanta read it, he was showing everyone, how could he have understood my mind? So he says, I accept Rupa Goswami is quite fit. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj says, I shall describe all these incidences elaborately later on. Now I've given only a brief reference. And then the verse is actually quoted, which Rupa Goswami wrote, which expresses, this is such a, this particular point, this is why Rupa Goswami is so revered, because he understood the innermost, he actually understood the innermost conception of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, which is the whole Paribhasa Sutra, the theme verse of the whole Bhagavatam, is what? Hey, Chamsa Kalapum Sa Krishna Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Now, original is an English word, Swayam Bhagavan. He is God himself. It means more that he is the Supreme Lord who is fully manifest. And any being, even the Supreme Being, is only fully manifest to the most intimate love, supported by the most intimate environment that allows the facility to express that love. And that means Krishna in Vrindavan. So, and what is that? That's the sentiment of Srimati Radharani at Kurukshetra. Although Krishna is there at Kurukshetra, it's not the full manifest, it's not really Krishna, it's Vasudev Krishna. Why? Because in that environment, as a king and surrounded by his troops and subjects, etc., that intimate aspect, as the lover of the gopis, as the Yasoda Nandana, Yasomati Nandana, Braja Bhara Nagara, Gokula Ranjana Kana. These are all names of that personality of Godhead when he manifests his innermost heart to the most intimate devotees at home in Vrindavan. So the mood of Srimati Radharani, when she went to Kurukshetra, Krishna was there. But although it was Krishna, seeing Krishna after 96 years, we can't imagine the feelings of joy, which was actually expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Rathayatra, because he was also singing Seta Paranandhatta Payanu Italagi Madanadhani Juraghenu. I have gotten the Lord of my life, for whom I was burning in the fire of lusty desires. But although that great intensity of meeting is there, and if you read in the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto, it describes this time when the residents of Vrindavan, after 96 years, go to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, because Samanta Panchaka, there is a wonderful lake there. I was also at Kurukshetra. I bathed in that lake. It's 3 miles long and 2 miles wide, and it's still very, very crystal clear. And that lake was Kudarma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. It's the place of the Kurus that performs Dharma Kshetre. It's very sacred. Parashuram bathed to set the example, because he killed 18 generations of Shatirtha. So it's a very sacred lake, and the residents of Vrindavan come, and the 82nd chapter describes when they meet. When they finally see, it shows when Rohini and Devaki, when they finally see Mother Yasoda, and they begin to glorify Mother Yasoda. But they notice Mother Yasoda cannot even speak. She's so much overwhelmed in ecstasy after finally seeing her son after 96 years. There's one young man I knew in India, a very, very fine young man. And he when he was 5 years old, his father sent him off to boarding school. And then his father somehow divorced his mother. And then for 17, 18 years, he didn't see his mother because his father was a higher caste man and a government officer, and the mother was from a, what they called, scheduled class or Adivasti or tribal class. He didn't see him, his mother. So finally, you know, when he got out of school, he got a job working in some type of job where he's traveling around India. And then he was finally somewhere near where his mother is. And he told me after 17 years, he saw his mother. And even though he was 22, he said he slept in his mother's bedroom. He hadn't seen her since she's five. You can imagine these sentiments. But somehow or other, still, the full manifestation, and therefore Radharani was in separation, in union. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's come, Krishna coming to experience those sentiments. And therefore the Ratiyatra is commemorating that Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's understanding, that inner sense of that Leela, which is, you can understand how confidential it is, and our Sampradaya, even before Madhavendra Puri, no one in our line of teachers even, the Madhvis, they don't understand the confidential position of Radharani, and they don't understand that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, that Krishna in Vrindavan. And it's such a reasonable conception that in infinite love, the full manifestation of oneself manifests. And when one has the responsibilities of position, or has the responsibilities to relate to people who are subordinates in reverence, a substantial part of their inner self cannot be manifest in that retinue. So here it is. So then Rupa Goswami then writes this verse, which we'll read now. Sayam Krishna Saha Charikuru Shaita Militas Tataham Sarvadha Haridam Ubayo sangamasukam tatapyanta kelam madhuramarali panchami juche manome kalindhi kulina vipanaya spiyate. This verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this battlefield of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within the forest of Vrindavan. Even ourselves, and now we go to Vrindavan now, and it's urbanized and covered, we still cannot imagine Krishna and Radharani in any place else in India. Now, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking in this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. The Jagannath deity does not have a flute. Krishna outside of Vrindavan does not have a flute. It's not Leela Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Sri Radhika Kurukshetre, Krishna Dartana, yadyapipayena tabu pavena archina. The subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. It means Rupa Goswami's thoughts. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way. Rajavesha hati goda manusha gahana, kahangopa vesha kaha nirjana vrindavana. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But at Kurukshetra, he was in the royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus, the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Just think of Krishna and dress him. We see Krishna, and if he's dressed just as a king and a soldier, how can that compare to a peacock feather and the flute and his shining blue chest and the shark earrings? Baharpi dam natavara bapu karnio karnikarya vibhrad vishya kanika kapisham vajyanti chamalam. How can that compare to him wearing the Vaijayanti mala, the brad, the shakonika kapisham, and the silk golden dhoti, the brad, the shad, the harpi dam, and the peacock feathers swaying in the air, the harpi dam, not the barava, and dancing like a dramatic actor in frivolity and joy, karniyoka, and the yellow karnika flowers, the yellow tulips hanging from his ears. So she wanted that. Say Bhave, say Krishna, say Vrindavana, Yabhi Pai Tabhi Hoya Panchita Parapunana. Thus meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan atmosphere, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. And then Krishna, and we'll finish that for today. Then Krishna Das Kaviraj, it's so nice, Krishna Das Kaviraj. Then he quotes a verse from that chapter, and we'll read it. Ahus chitej nalina nabha padara vindam yogeshwarai radivichintyam agada bodhai samsara kupa patito lavalalambham. Geham jusham apimanath vidayat sadana. The gopi spoke thus. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus, we should now envision, because we're being brought to Kurukshetra, and now what happens is Krishna, after 96 years, he takes the devotees to the side. And as he often does, when he takes the gopis to the side, and when the gopis come to him in the mood of separation, he sometimes, to increase the rasa, just preaches philosophy. It's too late in the class, but it was when the wives of the Brahmins came to him and sacrificed everything, when the gopis came to him and sacrificed everything, he sometimes preaches philosophical. And the last thing that a lover wants to hear, or anybody who wants any type of relationship from the heart, wants to hear analysis why it's right or wrong. So Krishna actually told, you know, was telling the gopis very philosophical things, and the gopis responded, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish these feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." We're ordinary persons. We're not mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We're simple village girls of Vrindavan. So you give us this philosophy about worshiping and meditating. Yes, your feet are, you are the Supreme Lord, because he was saying that and people worship you and meditate on you. But yeah, we also want those lotus feet awakened with our hearts. And the way we want those lotus feet awakened in our heart is we want those lotus feet in Vrindavan, where you can reveal yourself fully in the intimacy of love to your devotees. So this is what Rupa Goswami shared and understood. And because he understood it, then Krishna Das Kaviraj understands it. And that's why Krishna Das Kaviraj is so indebted to Srila Rupa Goswami. And that's why we, following as Rupanugas in this line, also somehow or other get at least the theoretical understanding and the potential to actually have a realized understanding by hearing these books with faith and devotion, the most intimate and attractive and alluring subject. And that's why to worship Krishna is so fortunate, because spiritual life means absorption. And Krishna is the most attractive feature of the Absolute Reality. And therefore, by chanting his name and hearing the stories of his activities, we have a chance, as fallen as we are, to achieve a level of absorption that will bring bhakti into our hearts. So I went over a little bit. I don't really have time so much for questions today. Sometimes when I traveled a couple of hours yesterday, I always give that excuse, but not Vrindavan, where I'm just sitting in one place, building up momentum. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna today?
Did you say no time for questions today, Maharaj?
Okay, Gail.
Is that what you said?
Go ahead. You can ask one.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's getting late, and I have this sense that people have schedules, they have lives, you know.
Yes.
So I don't get inspired to speak so long at the end. That's the problem. And if the question is very deep, it may require that. But you can ask your question, and I can certainly mark it down if I can't answer it quickly, because your questions are generally very deep. What's the question?
You had made a parallel when you brought up the despondency of Vyasadeva, and then Krishna appeared, and then you made a parallel between that and when Dhruva, when Krishna appeared to Dhruva. I don't know if it was when Krishna appeared to Dhruva or when Muni appeared to Dhruva.
What was
the point of that parallel?
The parallel is that in both cases, the super soul is witnessing the person's heart and sends God or his representative to satisfy it. So the point is that the internal desire is witnessed by God in terms of the Paramatma, and therefore, without any communication of that desire, it's possible by what's called the transcendental system, because that Paramatma is pervading everything. And therefore, the heart of the person who needs to enlighten you may also come. So in the case of Vyasadeva, he had a realization, but it needed to be confirmed. And as soon as he thought of having sufficiently glorified Krishna, his guru came and said, "You haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna." I believe it may have been Narada Muni again who came to Dhruva Maharaj. I believe it was Narada Muni that came to Dhruva Maharaj. So it shows that the spiritual master is linked up with the super soul. And therefore, in other words, what you want internally, the answers that you want internally, the spiritual desires that you want fulfilled internally, or in terms of the realizations that you're struggling with, perhaps because you can't clearly see the super soul, can come externally in a way that's clear. And I've had that experience that when I was in a dilemma in Vrindavan, I couldn't figure out what should I do, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do. My method would go to Prabhupada Samadhi and pray. And then after praying, "Please make this clear to me," I would see it as a circumstance externally that would make the choice clear to me. And I would see that, yes, there is some connection.
So I guess if Guru doesn't, or Krishna doesn't appear when you are struggling with presence, then that means that whatever you're struggling with is probably not a spiritual issue.
Or the sincerity is not there for the answer. That we want, we don't really want the answer. We want someone to confirm what our desires are. And there's many reasons. It's unlimited. But for me, I could say for myself, only when I come to the point where I say to Krishna that whatever you want, I will do, does the answer come. When I actually let Krishna know I'm going to submit to your will, whether I like it or not. But I'm just saying, it doesn't mean that it has to come that way. But a lot of times that the obstacle to the manifestation of clarity in thought is our own conditioned nature. That we're not ready to follow the truth when it comes. And I think in our spiritual practices, a lot of times when we get deep and we chant and we're getting deep in Krishna consciousness, it'll come to that point. Do you really want to surrender? Do you really want to take shelter of Krishna? Do you really want to do what's favorable for that relationship? Do you really want to reject what's unfavorable for that relationship? So I think there's definitely a connection. But that's just my personal experience.
Yet, the Guru seems to often appear to people who are not actually ready to follow all of Guru's instructions.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't seem like it's only when the person is ready to follow that Guru appears.
Okay, it's getting complicated, but very frankly, in terms of that type of relationship, the extent that this will go on past the class, but I'll just finish it now.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, the extent that you can get the whole truth is the extent that you're willing to surrender to it. And therefore, this pastime indicates that because Rupa Goswami was so surrendered, he had so much devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give him the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole truth controls our life. We have to live our life by truth. Not by our senses, not by our desires, not by our selfishness. So even if you have Guru, the extent that he will manifest as Guru is the extent that you're willing to actually accept the absolute truth and serve that absolute truth. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I'm uncharacteristically going. Who's that?
That was my son, Dana Madhav Amar. This is David Devadasi. He wanted to say Hare Krishna to you.
All right. Very nice to see you, hear your son. Thank you. I'm glad. It's nice I heard you because I haven't heard you for a while. I'd like to know that you're on. That's nice. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Dr. Carl, and Stella is here with me.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear from you both. And I understand you'll be coming this way, and we may get a chance to meet.
We certainly hope so. We're trying to work that out.
Okay.
I wanted to let you know that even though we don't always say hello, practically every Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, we're with you and listening, and you're awesome.
Thank you. I understand that people are not going to say every time, because it's just, thank you. Thank you. It's just nice. Occasionally. Occasionally.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Hari Bol, Maharaj.
Who is this?
That was, it's just Stella saying, Hare
Krishna. Oh, Stella, Hare Krishna. So
please
nice
accept
to
my humble obeisances.
Thank you so much. Very good. Nice to hear from you. Good.
Hare Bol, this is Chaitanya Doya.
Oh, all the old timers on the, I got your letter. And,
yeah, I just got yours in reply. And I just also got one from our Guru Maharaj simultaneously, which is a little surprising.
Okay.
He said that he thought she's asking me to come, but it's kind of a last minute. I wasn't really planning on coming.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. Very tempting.
Well, it'll be nice. I'm sure it's going to be nice.
I'm sure. I'm sure you'll enjoy it very much.
Yes, some of my disciples, they may or may not come, but are there.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does Premabhakti Marg still live in that area?
What's that?
Do you know Premabhakti Marg still lives in that area?
She does, and does. In fact, they're the ones that are picking me up.
Oh,
so
nice.
They will be there to pick me up at least, may go for the weekend.
Oh, all right.
Oh, she does, yes, definitely. Okay. Boy, so many. Good. Thank you, Chaitanya Doya.
You're welcome.
Nice to hear from you. Hi, Krishna. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Gordon.
Gordon. Wow. Always nice to hear from you, Gordon.
Thank you.
Good. Where are you listening to it today? Because sometimes I know you go to different parks, right?
Yes. Huns Lake in Stanfordville. I'm above a lake.
You're listening to where?
I'm at Stanfordville, and it's by it's called Huns Lake.
Uh-huh.
Muskrat and beaver, plenty of them.
What's that? There's what?
A lot of wildlife.
Oh, really? You're out there now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, Gordon always, because he started listening to these, with those who were there, when we were doing the thing in the Vrindavan forest, so he thought to listen to the sanghas, he would go out to different forests, because then it would be easier to think of the birds in Vrindavan. Very good. Thank you. Boy, this is the longest one I ever had. Hare Krishna, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today? Okay, we'll end. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhaya Chapa Pitaram Pavane.